Okay, thank you very much, JJ, once again. Good to be back just 4 days later after our first year. I just want to mention one thing that JJ didn't, which is that Blianhara, this, as well as the final shiur, will also, as the first shiur was taped and uploaded, and will be available online. So the first shiur, for those who were not there, or for those who were and want Chazara, is already available online at yutorah.org. It has the source sheet as well as the audio. And in Meretz this year and the third year will be as well for you or anyone else you know who might be interested. When I was picking topics in Halacha, in Lomdus, about the holiday of Hanukkah, so I mentioned that the shiur we picked, the topic we picked last week on Thursday, was perhaps the most central, if not the most ubiquitous, of all the halachos of Hanukkah, and that was the idea of mahadrin, and the role of hidur mitzvah in Hanukkah. And we spoke about the fact that, at least for some mafarshim, we made the argument, I hope persuasively, that in fact the mahadrin of Ner Hanukkah is unique among all other areas of Torah where we have a concept of mahadrin, not only in quantity or intensity, but actually in nature itself. And we showed a number of practical halachic consequences of that reality. And we ended with a little divrei hashkafa as well. For tonight's topic, to some extent I went to the opposite extreme, and that is that I picked a topic which is almost never practiced and even less known about. I guess it's the opposite of hidur mitzvah, in which we practice all every night of Hanukkah, and we all have heard of that at least. For tonight's topic, I picked the concept or halacha, which I hope to share with you and learn together with you, called the Birkat Haro'eh, which literally is easy enough to translate, but exactly what that means in terms of the halacha, both the what, the where, and the why of that is, of course, going to be the agenda for tonight's shiur. So, just by show of hands, how many of you are familiar with the halacha of the Birkat Haro'eh? Okay, so about a quarter to a third of the room, which is, I have a feeling if I was in a different room in a different community, the response wouldn't be that different. It's not so well known. How many of you have ever have said the Birkat Haro'eh? That's also, I haven't either.
Has anyone ever raised their hand for that?
No. I've only given the share a few times, but in different cities.
I said it.
You did. Okay, so now that Joey has admitted to being the guinea pig for the shiur, now we'll have to see. Don't tell us yet when you said it. Don't tell us yet. We'll have to go through the shiur to see when you're supposed to say it to see if that was correct. Okay, you don't have to yet tell us when you said it. We'll call on you in due time. Anyway, so without further ado, let's take a look at the source sheet and see source number one, where the Gemara tells us of the concept, and then, as I say, going through the Mefarshim, we'll try to understand it better. The Gemara in Shabbos, as part of the classic dapim in the Gemara that deal with the holiday of Hanukkah and the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos, Adaf Kaf Gimel, Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi Amar Rav, Hamadlik Ner Shel Hanukkah, Tzarech Levarech. Rav Yirmiya Amar, Haroa Ner Shel Hanukkah, Tzarech Levarech. Right? So that, the first halacha, no chiddush there. We all know that. When you light, you make brachos. However, Rav Yirmiya teaches us a new halacha. When you see a menorah, when you see Hanukkah candles, in and of itself, seeing, you make a bracha. What brachas do you make? Amar Rav Yehuda, Yom Rishon Haroeh Mevarech Shtayim, Umadlik Mevarech Shalosh. On the first night, when you're lighting the candles, you make three brachas, as we all know. However, if you're just seeing candles, you're on the streets, I can only imagine the amount of Hanukkahs on the streets of Modi'in, on Hanukkah, so you'll see a menorah lit, a Chanukiah, you'll make two brachos. You could imagine, just by process of simple analysis, which bracha do you think you omit? Of course, the first one. The first one is lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. So, whatever you want to say about the roa, he's not being madlik, he's not seeing. So, if you don't, or if you're not lighting, apparently you make the two other brachas, she'asa nisim and shehechianu. And the Gemara makes that point as it goes on, and as the final stage in the, if you will, chronological process, which is that after the first day, this is not a uniquely first day halacha, let's say it's the third day of Hanukkah, and you're walking down the street, and you see lit candles, so then you only make one bracha. And again, the Gemara tells us what we could have probably figured out on our own. If we drop the bracha of lahadlik, if you're just seeing, so that gives us two on the first night. On the second, third, or till the end of the holiday, and the Gemara says we only make one bracha, we all could put on our Gemara cup, our Gemara hat, and we could all understand which bracha gets left off after the first day. Obviously, Shechianu. Which is another way of saying, if we were to distill this Gemara down to its essence, what is the, capital T, what is the Birkat HaRoeh? Sha'asa Nisan Lavoseinu. So on the one hand, it's worth knowing that there isn't some mystery fourth bracha out there you never heard of. It's Sha'asa Nisan, the bracha we all know and love. That's comforting, familiar. However, what's unfamiliar, but hopefully by the end of the shiur we'll all be big experts in, is that apparently Sha'asa Nisan wears two hats. On the one hand, it's part of the regular routine of brachos that we all make every night of Chanukah when we're lighting. And that's part of what the Gemara said, Hamadlik, one who's lighting, makes the three brachos, or the rest of the holiday, the two brachos. However, the Gemara introduces us to a new concept. Not someone who's just who's lighting candles, which is obviously the main mitzvah, but just someone who sees lit candles. And that is called the Birkat HaRoeh. Now the Birkat HaRoeh is not some new bracha, it is Sha'asa Nisan. Sha'asa Nisan plays two roles. It's either part of the regular brachos, or if you separate and you're not the one lighting, you're just seeing HaRoeh, you make Sha'asa Nisan. On the first night, you also make Shechianu, but that falls by the wayside, and from the second night and onward, you would just make Sha'asa Nisan. So the questions which I would like to deal with, and really this is the focus of our halachic shiur, is number one, alluding to Joey volunteered that once he made this bracha. So the question is, as we will see in a moment, is a three-way machlokas, which is, when are you supposed to make this bracha? Under what circumstances? It seems self-evident from the fact that not only have almost none of us heard of this bracha before tonight, with one exception, none of us, myself included, have actually ever made the bracha, that obviously the Gemara did not mean that every time you see a lit menorah, you make a bracha. That would be way too shocking. And in fact, no one, none of the Mefarshim suggest that. But if that's not the case, then what is completely unclear is, well, when do you make the bracha? There is a bracha on the books called HaRoeh. If you see a menorah, you make a bracha. So it doesn't mean you make it every time you see a menorah. Okay, but well, when do you? That's the obvious, most basic first question. When is the Gemara referring to? What scenario? Number one. Number two, which is perhaps the million-dollar question, the deeper question, which is, why is there such a bracha? After all, when you're walking down the street on Sukkot, and you see someone coming home from shul from Hashkama Minyan, and they're carrying their lulav and esrog, and you're roeh dalet minim, do you make a bracha called Birkat HaRoeh on dalet minim? When you see a sukkah, do you make a bracha of roeh seeing a sukkah? When you see the shofar, when you see the tefillin, when you see the Shabbos candles, when you see any other mitzvah? The answer is, of course, not. Well, good, but there, that is the mitzvah. As the maisa mitzvah is first to see it, we have to be aware that there's a new moon, and then we make the bracha. That's part of what we need to, but no one says, Sheikh Gelulav, for example, so the lulav, the mitzvah is to take the lulav. So in Chanukah, the mitzvah is to light candles. We know that. That's why we don't say the first bracha if we didn't light. And yet, somehow, there's something going on, even though we didn't light, if we just see. And of course, what we have to try to get at is, what is that? And that is in part leading to what I hope will be, even for just a few minutes, at the last point of the shiur, even a little bit of hashkafa of why that should be. We'll discuss mainly the halacha, but a little bit of curiosity we should have. Why is it that on Chanukah, and specifically with this mitzvah, of all, in all of the Torah, and all of halacha, we have this bracha of not the mitzvah you do, but just seeing the mitzvah requires perhaps its own bracha. Yes?
There's a larger question also, meaning when you see it. All the other mitzvahs, there's only a birkas mitzvah, right? Here there's a birkas mitzvah.
So, good. So what is the role of Sha'asa Nisan in general and specifically when you're just being the roeh? Good. And I hope to relate to that as well. So take a look at number two. Number two is a three-way, basically a three-way debate in the Rishonim. What's the case? When does someone make this bracha of HaRoeh, of seeing a menorah? And I organize the sources from one extreme, if you will, to the other. The most extreme, or most ambitious, if you will, shita on this question is Rashi. Let's read Rashi carefully. Haroa, says Rashi, what's the case? Ha'over b'shuk, you're going through the marketplace, v'roa b'echad ha'chatzeros dolek, and you see on your way home from work, that's basically what he's referring to, you're on your way home, perhaps on your way home to light, and you see that someone else is already home, and they already lit, you see a menorah. Right? This happens to probably all of us. Some of you may happen to every night of Hanukkah, and it certainly happens to all of us at some point every year in Hanukkah, where before we light ourselves, we see other people who have already lit. Then he continues. So Matzati b'shem Rabbeinu Yitzchak ben Yehuda Shamar b'shem Rabbeinu Yaakov. This is part of the Mesorah of Rashi's Rebbeim. Quote, here's the key halachic point. T'lo huska kabracha zu ela lami shelo hidlik v'beiso adayin. This is only referring to a case of a person who didn't light yet. So in that scenario that I just sketched for you, I wasn't being flippant or glib. According to Rashi, it's very meduyak. It's dafka, referring to someone who has not lit yet. Not only that, some mafarshim go further in Rashi and say that it may refer to someone who's not even going to light. In other words, even though he's going to light shortly, but he didn't light yet. Imagine, again, I'm on my way home. My neighbor lives in one house. I'm in that Israeli semi-attached du-mishpachti right next door. But I see he got home before me. So in 5 minutes I'm going to light. But says Rashi, what was the key word in Rashi, the key qualifier? Adayin. Exactly, Rabbi Fine. Hey, he didn't light yet. Not that he's not going to light. Not that this is a unique case of someone who has no candles, Nebuch, he can't. One in a million. No, he just didn't light yet. Says Rashi, even then, he would light. This shita is to some extent so extreme that there's a debate within Rashi. Let's say now, okay, according to Rashi, we see the menorah of our neighbor, we make the bracha, sh'asa nisim. 5 minutes later, we get home and we get our family together and we light. Would we make another sh'asa nisim? Or not. So this is actually a machlokes. The Taz, who's a commentator on Shulchan Aruch, alludes to various opinions. And if you take a look at the next sources right after the Taz, I gave it to you in the earlier primary sources, the Ritva says, in one of the opinions, Ritva quotes two opinions. The Ritva says, Yesh Omrim, in the middle of the second line, Yesh Omrim, Shemivarech Ahariya, an amazing shita. This version of Rashi is the most extreme shita you could find. Not only am I going to light, so you would have thought, why should I have to make a bracha on seeing the menorah if in 5 minutes I'm making my own candles? But not only that, apparently the need is so significant and so independently significant that even though I'm about to light, when I light 5 minutes later, I'll make another shasa nisim. So it's not as if, according to Rashi, when I make the bracha, when I see someone else's menorah, that's substituting for something I haven't done or won't be able to do. In Rashi's scheme, certainly as understood by this version of Rashi, even though I know I'm going to light, 5 minutes, I'm right outside my door, I still make the bracha. And even then I make another bracha, two sh'asa nisims in one night. Amazing. Now it happens to be, on that last point, again, I don't want to get too sidetracked because that's not so ikar, but on that last point, the Or Zarua, he differs. And he says, no, even what Rashi meant was not that you'd make two. That seems the same bracha twice in 5 minutes. It's really bizarre. We don't have such a thing. So he says, no, even Rashi meant you have to make Sh'as Nisim once a night. So if you run into your neighbor's menorah first, Rashi said, even though you're about to light, the first time you see a menorah each night, sh'asa nisim. And 5 minutes later when you get home, your kids are going to get confused, you have to explain to them. But there will be no sh'asa nisim, because you just saw the menorah in your neighbor's house 5 minutes ago? So that's an interesting question about the role of the B'nai Beiso, who we learned last week. Why are the family members lighting? That's Hidur Mitzvah. Right? The Gemara said that the basic mitzvah of Hanukkah is Ner Ishu Beiso. The head of the house lights one menorah. Leave aside that he only has to light one candle, but there's one menorah, one Chanukiah, and that takes care of the house. So why are the family members lighting? We alluded last week that there's different minhagim whether a married woman lights, but certainly the other members of the house all light. It's universal minhag. That's Hidur Mitzvah. So how are they lighting if really they could be? How are they making a bracha, I should say? They light for Hidur Mitzvah. So why are they making a bracha? Are they not Yotzei with the father's bracha? So actually, Rabbi Akiva Eger suggests, in fact, that's the case. He says, again, it's hard to know if he really expects everyone to think this way, because I don't know how many people, no, I will not take a poll, how many families, you know, really educate all the family members to do this. Rabbi Akiva Eger says, you know why all the family members are allowed to make a bracha? Because they're having in mind not to be Yotzei the mitzvah with the head of the household's bracha. But if they didn't, then they can't make a bracha. They could all light, but not make their own bracha. So this gets to that question of who makes what brachas or not. Are the children or the family members making their own brachas? Are they relying on the father's bracha? That's an important point, and that's a fair point. But the basic idea in terms of our topic is that this Rashi, again, just I don't want people... it would be my fault if you lost sight of the forest for the trees, since I'm the one who brought you down to the trees. But I don't want you to lose sight of the forest for the trees. The big point is that Rashi says that you would make a bracha the first time you saw even someone else's menorah. You make a bracha of Shas Anisim, even though you're planning on lighting later that night, perhaps even 5 minutes later. Do you also, at that point, make a second Shas Anisim? So that was this debate that we just mentioned. But that's not as important as the first point, which is that Rashi says you make a bracha on seeing a menorah, even though you plan on lighting at night as well.
To Joey's point, though, it wouldn't the rest of the people in the house wouldn't make a difference if the person lighting the menorah didn't make Shas Anisim, because then I would assume, according to this, they would have to make the Shas Anisim because it's the first time.
I think that is what Joey was saying, that you would think, since they haven't seen yet, they would have to. If not for any reason, then they would be a roa. Then that would be a roa. Either they would make the Shas Anisim as part of their mitzvah of life.
So Joey's question was, if they didn't see it, and there's only one person lighting, then you would be missing one of the brothers.
No, I think Joey was saying is even if other people are lighting, if other people are lighting and they didn't see, would they say Shas Anisim?
No, that's one point. But if let's say there's Sfarim and they only light one Chanukiah. So the Baal HaBayis would say Shas Anisim because they have...
Not clear. I'm not sure. Well, the good point is it doesn't matter because Rashi wasn't a Sfardi. And Rashi didn't say that only one person should light. The Rambam, who did say one person should light, we'll get to his opinion in a moment. Okay, but if you're right, if Rashi would have been a Sfardi, that's like the beginning of a knock-knock joke. But if Rashi would...
Rabbi Kimager, where he said they all light, but he says all the brachos.
No, Rabbi Kimager wasn't saying that only the father makes the bracha. Rabbi Kimager is saying is that the children have in mind not to be yotzei with the father's lighting. And therefore, that's why not only can they light, but they can even make brachos. Okay. That's, again, opinion number one is that this Berkas Aroa, at this point, if we only had Rashi, sounds like it would be very germane to all of us, or at least to all of us. Many of us, because many of us will see someone's menorah before we get home. And Rashi says, you make a Birkas HaRoah the first time you see a menorah each night, even though you plan on lighting at home. That's opinion number one. Opinion number two is the Rambam. Take a look at the Rambam, a little more than halfway down on the page. Says the Rambam that it talks about the general obligation of Chanukah. He connects Chanukah to Megillah. And then he says, after he talks about how Madlik, on the first night, the one who lights the menorah, three brachas, etc., etc. Then the Rambam, after the three dots, after the ellipse on the second line, says the Rambam, kol haroa osa, velo birech, mevarech shtayim. What are the two? Shas Anisim and Shechianu. But again, key phrase. Again, let's read it again and let's think. Kol haroa osa, you see the candles, you see the Chanukiah, velo birech, mevarech shtayim. So who wants to be a lamdan? What can you tease out from this Rambam? He's agreeing with Rashi, he's disagreeing with Rashi, he's saying a different approach than Rashi.
He agrees. No, you say twice. you're not going to say it twice
because
you said it
already. It says, v'lo b'ret. So if you were mevarech, you're going to...
Right, if you saw it already and you said it already, you don't say it.
Good, so it's a little bit tricky because there's something that's out there which we haven't yet brought to the surface, which is the following, which I don't know how common or how relevant as much as it is in America, but in Israel. But I know that, for example, many people, including perhaps some in the room, who, for example, let's say had lawyers or Wall Street type jobs and would have very late hours and used to come home when they lived in New York and had to work, come home very late, way past when it was dark. So as a regular shaila in such families, do you light at the proper time? So who's lighting? What do you mean? Let's say in this case, if your work... Well, it could be that the wife is at home, the kids are at home. So not only could they light, the din is that they could light, and they could, just like a husband could light a menorah for his wife, in this case, halakhically, without any question, we're very gender neutral here, a wife could light for her husband. Madlik alav bebeso. Or, that's often lokal kach na'im for the husband or the wife. Most women that I know would not want to do that, all things being equal. So in many cases, if the husband's not coming home too late, they wait. So that's when you're coming home very late. So in that kind of a case, if you are coming home, and let's say in that case, you know, you let's say it's a husband, again, it could be the opposite, but just to take a stereotypical case. Husband's coming home very late. He's like, I'm going home till 11 o'clock, it's going to be crazy, the kids are going to be sleeping. You light with the kids, have me in mind. So now, on his way home from the train, whether it's Modi'in or Manhattan, as the case may be, and you see a menorah, would you make a Berachas HaRoah according to the Rambam or not?
See, a menorah, or if he comes into his house and sees a menorah?
Anywhere. When he sees them, the first menorah he sees.
No.
He would not.
No, he would, because it says like it says, if he saw it and he didn't make a bracha, he did make a bracha. Somewhere.
Very good. So the different points, Rabbi Fine and others, it's exactly the question is how to read the Rambam's phrase of halo birech. So if I, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think what Rabbi Fine was assuming was that it doesn't mean it literally. It's a euphemism for he didn't fulfill the mitzvah. Am I right? That's what you were assuming? And therefore, since in this case he fulfilled his mitzvah through his wife's lighting, so since he was already yotzei, he wouldn't have to make the Berachas HaRoah. However, with all due respect to my dear old friend Rabbi Fine, that's not how the Magid Mishnah read the Rambam. The Magid Mishnah would have won the straw poll here, because at least three of you read it like the Magid Mishnah. Take a look at the last source, excuse me, the next source. The Magid Mishnah says, Da Tozal, the Rambam's opinion is, Sha'af al pisha yotza min ha-mitzvah. Even if the person already was yotzei their mitzvah, Kigon, shehidliko lav betoch peso. Family members lit already on his behalf before he got home, still mevarech, will still make a berachas haroah. And what seems to be coming from the Magid Mishnah is that this should be distinguished, as I think two or three of you pointed out correctly, from a case in which the person themselves did make it. Because even though technically, again, I'm just, I don't mean to be gender specific, but just too clumsy to keep on having to say he or she, so you forgive me. In the case where he lit on his own, he's yotzei the mitzvah. In the case where he fulfilled his mitzvah because his family lit on his behalf, he equally fulfilled his mitzvah. It's even. And yet, despite the fact that that's even, the Magid Mishnah is suggesting that the Rambam splits the psak when it comes not to whether he fulfills the mitzvah, but whether he has the additional obligation of haroah. In a case where he was birech, he himself did the mitzvah, he lit, made his own brachas. So then the fact that he's going to see another menorah doesn't make a bracha. Because he is already, not only yotzei, but already birech. But in a case where he was already yotzei, how? Because his family lit on his behalf. But he himself wasn't mevarech, then he would make a berachas haroah. So that's a nafka mina when he calls home and says, I'm not sure, should you wait for me? And she says, well, what time are you going to be home? This happens again. Lots of families in Teaneck who got worried about husbands coming over the bridge. This is like conversations every year on Hanukkah. Well, how late are you going to be? What time? Should I keep the kids up?
Can you say the same like what Joey was saying though? Even if, let's say the wife in that family doesn't like, He lights.
Well, if she doesn't light, so then he can't be Yotzei.
No, he's I'm saying different.
Oh, they decided that, well, wait, we're going to wait.
He lights.
Okay.
She's there. She didn't make the bracha. I'm just like saying here, Lobi, that she didn't make the bracha.
So that doesn't, so I think.
How far do you go with
that? Yes, I think that would be too far. I think. It's a good question, but I think if you, for example, whether it's the husband or the wife, but you're fulfilling your mitzvah through someone else making the brachas on your behalf, I think that counts. And actually, in fact, I'll prove it to you a little bit. When we get to section number 5, from Rabbi Akiva Eiger again. But it's a good question, it's a sharp question. But to go back to the forest, we have now a second opinion about this mysterious bracha called the Berkas Aroa. Whereas Rashi said, you make it even if you yourself are going to light, let alone if someone else is going to light on your behalf. The Rambam, as understood by the Magen Mishnah and a majority of respondents here in Modi'in, feels kind of a middle position. That is to say, it depends. If you yourself are going to light, then maybe not. But just because someone else lit for you, even though you're Yotzei through that, but as long as you yourself weren't Mevarich, even though you were Yotzei, but you weren't Mevarich, you didn't make the bracha, then you would have to make a Berkas Aroa. Now, I stress that because we have a third and final opinion, which is perhaps on the other extreme or the most conservative, and that is the Rashba. The Rashba says all of this is too extreme. We have to be much more conservative. Says Rashba, Mistabra, what makes much more sense? B'shelo hidlik, not only are we talking about a person who didn't light, but also a person v'lo hidlik olav b'beso. And third factor, Eino Atid Lahadlik Halayla. He takes this Gemara and this mitzvah called Berkas Aroa, and he explains it in a way that it'll apply in 1 in 1,000 cases. A person who not only did not light yet, has no family who lit on his or her behalf, but also is not planning on lighting. Not because they're callous, but because they're in Vietnam on business and they forgot candles. And there's nothing, they can't get anything. But maybe they're on the plane. Or whatever scenario it is, they can't light. And they don't, unfortunately, have a family that can light for them. And then they see someone else's menorah. So they have no other heichi timsa, no other possible way of either lighting themselves or being Yotzei. They have no way to be in any way actively involved in any actual lighting, either literally or virtually, on behalf of their family. The only thing they can do is see someone else's menorah. They're not going to be shayach to any menorah, either personally or vicariously through a family member. Only in a case where a person has no shayachas to any menorah, any lighting, personally or vicariously, then, nebuch, you're already in sug bet, you have no other connection to the menorah, to the mitzvah, you see someone else's, make a sha'asa nisim. So we went from Rashi, on one extreme, saying that when you see your neighbor, it's menorah, 5 minutes before you're about to light your own, Rashi says you make the bracha. Rambam in the middle says it depends. Are you going to light or is someone else going to light for you? To now the Rashba saying, no, the other extreme. If you're about to light, or even if you're going to light in 5 hours, you don't make a bracha. If you're already lit, you don't make a bracha. And if your family lit on your behalf, you don't make a bracha. You only make a bracha if you didn't light, no one lit for you, and you're not going to light. Those are the two extremes with the Rambam in the middle. Now before we dig a little deeper into the lumdus and the philosophy of all this, so can't go further without, I don't want to confuse anyone, no one should leave as confused as you look right this moment. What's the halacha? Bottom line. Now, whenever, it happens to be my wife's in America now, so she didn't ask me what usually happens right before I give a shiur, which is, what are you speaking about? And then when I tell her, and I think it's all interesting, and then she cuts the shiur, she says, okay, well, what's the halacha? So then we have a running routine, because then she, before I can answer the question, she goes, I know, machlokes. So in this case, yes, it is a machlokes, but at least I can tell you what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Shulchan Aruch gives a very clear psak. The Shulchan Aruch defends, in essence, all of us. Because I took a poll, and other than Brave Joey, everyone else here admitted that we've never said this bracha. Whoever said a bracha just by seeing someone else in menorah? So the reason that we never did is because the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rashba. And Baruch Hashem, we've never been in such an extreme circumstance. as the Mishnah Berurah explains, it's true there are other opinions. And maybe if we were, you know, one of Rashi's children, or in Rashi's, you know, he was our Morad Atra, you know, then maybe we would have paskened otherwise. And if we lived with the Rambam, he would have told us a little differently. But when we take a step back, says the Mishnah Berurah, and we see these three opinions, Safek Brachos Lahakel. Either because we're really convinced that the Rashba is correct, or just because we're not sure and we don't like to make brachas unless we're absolutely sure. We're very ultra-conservative, as you all know, when it comes to brachos. Whenever there's a suffix, we don't make a bracha. So here you have one opinion. The Rashba, Shulchan Aruch seems to say, that's the most conservative. If you're really in such a unique circumstance, you're not going to make a bracha, you didn't make a bracha, you didn't light, you're not going to light, no one lit for you. So Baruch Hashem, most of us have never been in such a situation. Because we've always been either someone's child or someone's spouse. And in most cases, I assume if we added up all the nights of Hanukkah of all of our lives, you know, eight times, however many, most of us are probably lit, certainly the men for sure, most of us are probably lit almost every single one of them. So leave aside being Yotzei by somebody else. Most of us have lit ourselves. But to have a case where we didn't light, no one lit for us, and we knew we weren't going to light, thankfully it's very rare. And that's what Shulchan Aruch says, only in those cases would you make the bracha. Okay. So now. I wasn't going to call on you, Joey, only because I don't want to put you on the spot. But if you're volunteering, I'm very curious.
I said it because when I was working as a junior associate, I was coming home.
Slave labor, yeah.
So my wife used to light with the kids at the proper time. I'd get on the phone with them and listen and whatever and feel very bad. And one time, I happened to be able to get it. Usually I would come through. I happened to get out, like, you know, a half hour later, I was able to come home, and on my way home, I saw a
candle. Candles were still lit.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Right.
Yeah. If I was coming home late and I see a Hanukkah, I wouldn't say because it's past this month. Can you say that
Well, that but we could discuss that separate. I don't want to, that gets into a separate topic, which is what is the Zman nowadays. The Gemara says that the Zman of lighting is as long as people are out in the street. But many poskim write that that may not be at all relevant nowadays for one of two reasons. Either A, at least going back to those of us who used to live in Chutz Haaretz, many poskim say it does not apply when you're lighting inside. But Baruch Hashem, we've come back home, so now we light outside. So that wouldn't change things. But other people say, even if it's true that we still go by that definition, but in most cases, that's still quite late. Now, when you were living in Riverdale and you were a junior slave associate, so it depends. When you were going through Manhattan, people could be up till 2 in the morning. There's no such thing. There is no such thing as Techla Ragla Menashuk in Manhattan. And I don't mean that facetiously. I mean that literally. Although I do know. I remember we lived in Manhattan the first 2.5 years we were married. Then we moved to sleepy Riverdale, which is only sleepy compared to Manhattan. Exactly. I remember the first Hanukkah we were there, the first few weeks, we said, it's 9 o'clock at night. You go on Johnson Avenue. I'm sorry for the references, but there's a few Riverdalians here, so I'm indulging. But you go into certain blocks there, and it's pitch black, which is like the rest of the world. I mean, that's, you know, you're just skewed if you come from Manhattan, that's all. No, Baltimore by 7, it's already dark. Riverdale is like Times Square compared to Baltimore. And Baltimore's proud of that. That's not an insult. Baltimore's more than proud of that. So, in Echanami, you go by every community. But if you come back to a community in which everyone is sleeping or there's nothing going on at all, which is, again, pretty rare. It'd be pretty late nowadays in some communities. Then it becomes a shaila. Do we go by the people in the street? Or some posts can say that nowadays we go by as long as anyone's awake in the house. That's really a shaila. But just again, since you mentioned it, the scenario, I'm not talking about you, Joey, now personally, but the scenario, generally speaking, that you mentioned, so I think the Mishnah Berurah would have said you would not have said a bracha. But again, according to the other post scheme, it was very legitimate, but Mishnah Berurah's explanation of the Rashba, the Shulchan Aruch, then we wouldn't have. Okay. Now that we have the basic scenario, it does apply in many cases, or maybe applies only in very few cases, but it does apply. It's on the books. And inquiring minds want to know. I mean, this is a very fascinating idea. Why is it that this mitzvah of Hanukkah, of all mitzvos, has this bracha that we make only on seeing something? So this is not my question. This is not your question. This was already the Bali Hatosos' question. It's not a heretical question. It's very legitimate. Why should this be so strange, so unique? If you turn over the page, number 3, Tosu says, Bashar mitzvos, kigon lulav, sukkah, and you could add every other one, lo tiknu levarich leroa, elo lagabi ner Chanukah. Right? It's a unique phenomenon to Chanukah. And the question is why? So it's interesting, listen to the way Tosu answers the question, because Pursumanisa is not, we have other mitzvos, right? Purim, We don't make a Shas Nisan when we see the Megillah or see Shalach Manos or something as that may be. Dalid Kosos is Persumi Nisa. We don't make a bracha when we see. I mean, some people get very excited when they see wine, but we don't make Shas Nisan. So it's still, I don't think that would be sufficient. So Tosfos gives two answers. Number one, says Tosfos, very beautifully, Bishem Chavivos Hanes. There's something particularly beloved to the Jewish people about the mitzvah of Hanukkah. He doesn't tell us what that is. He doesn't go further. There is a Rambam that speaks about mitzvahs ner Hanukkah's Chaviva Ad Ma'od. And it's worth a shir. It's not tonight's shir, but it's worth a shir to know what does that mean. I don't know if there's any other mitzvah that I can think of off the top of my head, which you have Tosfos, the Rambam, referring to it as a Chaviva. It's a beloved mitzvah. But somehow, because it's so beloved, says Tosfos in this first answer, any chance we could get just seeing the menorah makes us want to make a bracha. Very intriguing. The second answer Tosfos gives is a little more technical, a little more halachic. He says, listen, you can only make... Where is the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? In the house, by the doorway, outside, but you need a house. A person who doesn't have a house can't make the bracha. So says the Tosfos, for those people... Who knows how many this was? I'm not sure what exactly he's referring to. Like Nebuch, homeless people. He says, "Kama b'nei adam shein lehem batim, ein b'yadim l'kayim a mitzvah." Exactly. So that's not everyone really likes that reason. Because after all, what about mezuzah? We don't say when you see a mezuzah, you need a house to make a mezuzah. No, but not a okay. Well, that's the affordable. But even just take it literally, the house. So what about mezuzah? We don't have a bracha that you make a whenever you see a mezuzah. That's not true. So that's why many Mefarshim say that the main reason, the Ikarim reason maybe is the first one. This idea of Chaviva. But now I want you again, took a little bit of a break, now I want you to put your Gemara cup back on. And think critically. The whole question, let alone the two answers that he gave. What's the question? The question of Tosfos is comparing Ner Chanukah to all other mitzvahs. Why is this the only mitzvah we make a bracha? What is the assumption? What is the assumption that underlines the question? And this is a classic Lumdus 101. We're not looking for what the Tosfos asked and answered, but we're looking at the invisible layer, one layer below. What is the invisible assumption that Tosfos' question is based on? That the Baracha is Shayach is Kashur to what? No, why the Nes? What? No. He's I'll try to phrase it in a way that hopefully you'll see what I mean. His question was, their question to be more precise, why is Chanukah different than all other mitzvos that Ner Chanukah has this Birkas HaRoeh and other mitzvos don't? The assumption is that the bracha is kashur to what? Not the Beis HaMikdash, what? To the mitzvah. Now, I'm convinced that the reason that you were struggling to find the answer is because it's so obvious you didn't think that's what I meant. I tricked you with the SHE trick, right? Where if it looks too obvious, you think it must not be the answer, and they always get you on that, like number 14, because then it really was the answer. So you'll see what I mean. Why this is not obvious in a second when we see those who argue. But what I think is clear from Tosfos, which I have a feeling most of you were even almost subconsciously assuming, was that the bracha of seeing this bracha of Shas Nisim of Birkat HaRoeh is a response, is generated by the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah. Now, what else could it have been, though? Let's say it's not that. Right? Think out of the box. What else could it have been? In which case, Tosfos would have had no question at all, or at least wouldn't have phrased the question the way he did. What else could be the mechayiv? What else could generate the obligation?
Persumi Nisa.
Good, but yes, but what's even deeper? What's generating Persumi Nisa? The mitzvah of Neros Chanukah? No. What generates? Persumi Nisa means that we want other people to see it. What generates that obligation? Even lower, deeper. Dig. Dig. No. No. What generates that?
Nice.
Yes. The day itself, not the mitzvah of Chanukah, not the mitzvah of Neres Chanukah, but Chanukah. The Nes itself generates that. Who says that? Rabbi Chaigon, the Shiltot. Take a look at the next source. Ki mati yoma, Rache Shlonisa. When it occurs the anniversary of a day where a miracle happened. to the Jewish people, kigon, for example, Chanukah and Purim, machayev livruche, we have to make a bracha, bracha sher asanisim l'avoseinu. The Shiltos doesn't say anything about the mitzvah. Yes, we say she'asanisim at the time of lighting. We are masmichet. We have this concept in Hilchos Brachos a lot, but Kiddush and other things where we attach one bracha to a ma'aseh mitzvah to give it a little bit more, you should stand up. Why do we make Shechayonim when we make Kiddush? There's no connection between Shechayonim and Kiddush. I'll prove it to you. Because in many families, the wife has already made Shechayonim when she lights candles. Is Shechayonim a din in candles? No. Is it a din in Kiddush? No. Shechayonim is a din in the holiday, the day itself of Pesach or Shavuos, etc., generates the obligation of Shechayonim. We do it around Kiddush or around Neros to give it a little oomph. Shouldn't fall under its own weight. It gets propped up by the Kiddush, let's say. Here also says the Shiltos. Of course we make the Shasanisim when we light, but that's not why we make the bracha. We make the bracha not because of the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah, but we make the bracha because of Chanukah, because of the Nes. The Nes itself, which is what we're celebrating Chanukah, generates the obligation on the one hand to make Chanukah candles, to light, and on the other hand, also, separately though, to say Sha'as HaNisim. We usually couple them for a variety of reasons, as I alluded to, but they're not the same thing. And that really gets to the heart of this whole issue of Birkas HaRoeh. To what extent can we separate this bracha, Sha'as HaNisim, whenever we make it, from the mitzvah of lighting? And that seems to be the debate. The more you say, as we're now saying from this Shiltot, the Sha'as HaNisim, the Birkas HaRoeh, is not from the mitzvah of Neros, but rather is just a thing you do anyway, then the more Rashi makes sense. Remember, what did Rashi say? I'm going to make it the first time I see a menorah, even though I know 5 minutes later I'm about to make the mitzvah. And the Rashba, I didn't read it inside because for the sake of time, but the Rashba had rejected that because the Rashba said, when else would we have a mitzvah where we make the same bracha twice? Make Sha'as HaNisim twice on Chanukah and Lechta in one night? But Rashi said yes. Perhaps because according to Rashi, it's not about the mitzvah of Chanukah. It's whenever the day itself generates the obligation. So when you see it the first time, that's an independent obligation. And then we can understand the debate within Rashi. So do I need to make it a second time? So the Yesh Omrim and the Ritva said yes. And the Arzaruah said no, that's a little bit too far. But either way, the fact that I'm going to be Yotzei the mitzvah of lighting didn't change the fact that Rashi said who cares? Or someone else lit for me. Who cares? The day itself requires the obligation. Whereas the Rashba, for sure, and even the Rambam, who's kind of somewhere in the middle, a little bit grayer, but certainly the Rashba, the other extreme, says no, like Tosfos here said, Sha'as HaNisim is like what all of you kind of assumed. It's a second bracha on the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah. It's not on the day of Chanukah, it's on the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah. And therefore, if you are gonna light, or your family lit for you, so that's a Sha'as HaNisim you're taking care of. And therefore, you would make a bracha on seeing. I'll give you two or three quick other practical nafkamina, and then we'll close.
That's true. There would be no Birkas HaRoeh at all. If it's only tied to the mitzvah itself, and if you're not being mekayem the mitzvah, then you don't...
Why? Take the example of a person who's... Take a person who sees candles, but has no scenario in which to light.
If it's connected to the mitzvah, you would not say the bracha. Why would you say the bracha?
Okay, exactly. Fine. I'm fine with that.
No, so how do you understand that sheet? How do you understand the sheet that says you only make the bracha?
If someone who's going to make the bracha, who is not lighting, can't light, because that's based clearly connected to the day.
So everyone holds that. Everyone holds to some extent that it's connected.
Okay, I guess that's a fair point. I guess that's a fair point. One second, let me think.
Why can't he just say it when he eats bread? Why can't he say it? If he has no intention of lighting or won't be able to, but he will be eating, why not say it?
Well, because again, there seems to be, although we'll see one in a moment, I'm going to show you something even more extreme than anything we've seen until now. Right, but assuming that you do have to see something, lit candles, then we're always going to connect it to seeing something. I don't think that would necessarily relate to having your Suda or something like that, which there's no technical halacha Suda anyway in Hanukkah. But I wasn't clear, or maybe you're not being clear. What I'm suggesting is that the Rashba's whole sense is that when don't you have to make a Birkas HaRoeh? if in any way you're going to be yotzei the mitzvah, either you yourself are going to light vicariously, someone already lit for you. Now, why is that? Why are you exempt? Because he sees the bracha of haroah as connected to the mitzvah, and as long as you're fulfilling the mitzvah, that takes care of it. So why is it? So you're asking, so according to the Rashba, why do I make the bracha in that one case? We said the 1 in 1,000. Why do I make the bracha? So I guess, I think, maybe I have to work on how I would formulate it, but I think he's still connecting it to the mitzvah. Given the fact that you can't fulfill the mitzvah the way you're supposed to, you can't light, no one's going to light for you. So the poor man's version, so to speak, what else can you do, is you just make the bracha on seeing it. But I think everything he's saying until that last point, and I would assume therefore we'd have to explain the last point as well, is based on the assumption it's connected to the mitzvah of lighting. And therefore if you're going to be yotzei, you don't have to. Whereas, as I say, Rashi on the other extreme, who says, no, who cares whether you're going to be yotzei in 5 minutes or not? Who cares if someone lit for you? But just seeing the candles is already enough of a machayev. It's not kashur to the mitzvah, it's the fact that when you see them, persumei nisa, the nes, Chanukah itself reminds you. I don't want to belabor the point. We can talk about it afterwards. We'll both think about it more. But let me just give you a few other examples just to show you, to flesh out how this can affect things. There is a well-known shita talked about by a lot of poskim in number 4 of the Me'iri. The Me'iri is the most extreme. We mentioned, for those of you who are here on Thursday, Shlomil, Shlomazel, and Shlomizel. We spoke about 3 different people who made all sorts of careless, funny mistakes. So imagine this person has this really, really big business trip coming up. And Nebuch, I'll take a man's perspective, since he's not married, he doesn't have his better half to remind him not to forget all sorts of important things. Who knows what I would remember if I didn't have someone reminding me. So he goes on this trip, no one reminded him, and he's going to, again, Vietnam has Chabad. So you found the one place in the world where Chabad didn't get to yet. So there's no candles for you to light. You have no one at home, Nebuch, you have no family, no one's lighting for you. And there are no candles to see, because if you're in a place where there's no Chabad, then there ain't no other Jews either. So you're not going to see any. Not only did you not light, not only because you forgot the candles, not only is there no one lighting on your behalf, but you're not even going to see candles. So if you would call up, I assume if I call up the rabbi here, if someone would have called me up as the rabbi, I would have said to him, Nebuch, there's nothing you can do. You know, you shouldn't have gone on the trip. You should get married to have someone to remind you to do things. But sometimes in life it's just Nebuch. There's nothing you could do. However, very good. But the Shilta doesn't say that. But I agree with you. He could have said it. But who did say it, Rabbi Fine? If you lived in Provence and you called the Me'iri, the Me'iri would have told you something very shocking. If you take a look at number 4, the Me'iri says, second line, Mi she'ein lo lahadlik, he has nothing to light. Ve'einu b'malkom she'efshar lirot, and he's in a place where no one lit. So he's not even going to see a menorah. Nevertheless, yesh omrim she'mevarech la'atzmo she'asanisim v'hadvarim nirim. Says the Me'iri, you make the bracha, even not only are you not lighting, but you didn't even see someone else's candles. Now what possible explanation could there be for such a shocking psak? And the answer, I believe, is Rabbi Fine said it correct, is the only conceivable way you could say such a thing is if you hold that what's generating, what's the machayev? The nes, the miracle, the day itself. So even though ideally, it's in some measure kashur to somebody's candles, in that 1 in 1,000,000 case where there's no candles, you still make the bracha. Now it's possible that even the Shiltas would have disagreed, because if you take a look at the next verse, the Mordechai, we notice from that great triumvirate of the Rosh, the Mara Mirutenberg, and the Mordechai, the Chachmei Ashkenaz, who had issues with the Crusades and other anti-Semitic persecution. If I remember my Jewish history correctly, I believe he was actually killed, Hashem Yom Kom Damo, as opposed to the Maharam, the Rebbe, who was kidnapped and died in captivity, and the Rosh, who actually escaped and lived the rest of his life in Spain. But of the three, each one of them had, the Rosh did the best. He was only exiled. But the Rebbe, the Maram, was kidnapped and died in prison. And Nebuch, his Chavrusa, the Mordechai ben Hillel, was actually killed, Al Kiddush Hashem. So the Mordechai, in his Psakim, he says that you only make the bracha if you see. Doesn't matter, he's not talking about mitzvahs, not mitzvahs. But there's a separate mitzvah of seeing candles. Even the person who lights their own candles, Sh'as L'nisim is a response to seeing candles, not to lighting candles. Seeing, in this case, really is the believing. Seeing is the Ikar. So even if you held that there's some miracle as the Machayiv, it could be that there's a condition that requires you to see. It's not 100% clear, but it could very well be. Last but not least, in the halachic point, just quickly, I'll mention 5 and 6. Rabbi Kiva Eger discusses the Shlomil and Shlomazel case from last week of a person who's lighting, forgot to make the bracha, and then remembered. It's day 5, they already lit the first candle, but they didn't make the bracha. So on Thursday, we discussed the question of would that person be allowed to make a Shekhar Hashanah B'Tzos of Itzivan or Lahadlik? We saw a debate about that. But here in the selection I have for you in number 5, Rabbi Kiva Eger actually says, before he gets to that question, which is more complex, he said, but in his opinion, for sure, Birkas al Anisim v'Shechiyonu, Miyad Shehidle Kaner, Gamar Mitzvah Hadlaka, so Mikamakam, Mavarach Osam, Telogara Me Roe, Mavarach Ner Chanukah. In that case, even though you forgot and you already lit the main candle, which you fulfill your technical mitzvah with, nevertheless, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, if you forgot, you can still say the Sha'asa Nisim, because you're basically like a Birkas HaRoe. And he continues, Kevin Shiyotza Bahadlaka, Imkein Hadlaka Birchasa, Ki'ilu Hidlik Hu Beso. He says, don't tell me that this is comparable to the case, like Joey said, or many families in which the husband's coming home late, so he says to his wife, please light on my behalf. Because there, even though not only did he not light, but his wife's lighting counts for him, the bracha that the people made in his house counts as if he made a bracha. So that person, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, like the Rashba, who's coming home from work, would not make a bracha. Because after all, not only did his wife or his family light for him, their bracha counts for him. But he says the Rabbi Kiva, that's not the same as this case. In this case, where no one yet has made the bracha on his behalf, V'chi b'shvil shehidlik, last phrase, this is the key, last phrase, V'chi b'shvil shehidlik gamkein, paka mimenu chiyuv zeh. Because he was technically fulfilling his mitzvah of Neros Chanukah with the first candle, he loses out on the chance to make the Birkas HaRoeh. It's too late for him to make the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim. So what do you see from the way he phrases that? That clearly he's looking at it as two separate kiyumim. There's the kiyum of lighting, and then he says, and you shouldn't lose out because of that on the second kiyum. Well, what does that mean? Obviously, he sees the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim not as a response to the mitzvah of lighting, but to the day and to the miracle.
Shouldn't that affect the way we make the order of the way we make it?
Yes, that's number 6. Fantastic. Fantastic. That's number 6. Before I get to that, just very, very quickly, because it connects to a source I had from last week, was the Tshuvos Lahoros Nason. Lahoros Nason was one of my personal favorite Talmid Chachamim of our generation. When I say our generation, I mean that his first Yortzeit hasn't come yet. It was a great, great gadol from Bnei Brak, Rav Nason Gishtetner, Zichrono Levracha. He just passed away. I don't know exactly what month it is, but he is not. I don't believe there's been a Yortzeit yet. He just died last year. He was a prolific, prolific author and Talmud Chacham. Some of you may know one of my good friends, Rabbi Daniel Feldman, of Tinek and of YU. So he actually, I think, even had a personal relationship, but he certainly was also a big fan. He helped introduce me and whet my appetite and love for this author's svarim and Daniel's own svarim. He even once got a haskama from him. We went to meet him in Bnei Brak. Very, very prolific, brilliant Talmud Chacham. So he asked the same question as the Shlomil Shlomazel case, but he asked the question on the Birkas HaRoeh. That is to say, let's say you're Joey, you're coming home late from work, and the first menorah you see, you notice something odd about it. The first candle has blown out. So all you're looking at are candles that are hiddur mitzvah candles, because the first candle already blew out. Now, what's the relationship between the first candle and the others? That was the topic on Thursday. What's the relationship between hiddur mitzvah and the basic mitzvah? But in that vein, he says something very beautifully. He says also, like Rabbi Kiva Eger, he says you could make a Birkat HaRoeh even on a menorah that's missing its main candle. But unlike Rabbi Kiva Eger, who says, because there's some other kiyum out there called the miracle, called the day, he says something which is directly from last week's shir. Tekach haita ikar hatakana, shemahadrin yosifu neros, v'ze adif mihir mitzvah ba'ama. Here's the key phrase, again, the last few words. Tehacha kishe'osa hahidur, hareza ikar hamitzvah. Ikar hamitzvah and hidur is a false dichotomy. In Chanukah, it's really integrated. It's one and the same. So therefore, even though I'm seeing candles 2, 3, and 4, don't think that that's somehow Cinderella, that's a step candle, that's not a secondary, second-class candles. And maybe now it's a Shiloh, can I make the bracha of seeing or not seeing? Chanukah is unique, as we said last week. The Mahadrin and the Ner and the Ikar Mitzvah are all one and the same. It's integrated. And therefore, you can even make the Berakat HaRoah. So what do you see? Even though he's coming up with a very similar psak as Rabbi Akiva Eiger, his analysis is, I think, 180 degrees. It's the exact opposite. His whole analysis is assuming that it's connected to the mitzvah, and based on the chiddush that the mitzvah even includes the hiddur, you can make the bracha. So here you have two poskim who are more or less answering almost identical questions, almost identical answers, but their rationales are coming from what I would say are two opposite perspectives. One from the perspective that the Berakat HaRoah is connected to the holiday, and the second one that the Berakat HaRoah is connected to the mitzvah itself. Last but not least, and then with the halacha, is number six, which was alluded to very sharply a few minutes ago, and that is the order. When do you make this? If you ever notice, in some families, I'm not sure how many families are doing it deliberately and how many families are just like, it's a little hefker with the kids and everything, but when do you light that first candle? After the first bracha, after the second bracha, after all three brachas? You never know exactly what to do. Start right away, in the middle of Shas HaNisim, after Haneris Halalu, when do you do it? So this is really a discussion halacha. And the Ramah says, Yivarech kol brachos kodem shiachil halik. As far as I know, unless you have some particularly knowledgeable family minhag otherwise, this is the what should be the universal minhag Ashkenaz at least, which is that you make all of the brachos before you light your first candle. Then there's a second minhag, which at least in my family we have, which is after you've lit at least the first candle, then you can start singing. You don't have to wait till you light all the candles. That breaks the momentum, we know that. You'll lose the kids for sure. Got to close that gap very quickly. One candle, start singing. Hope for the best. But you, the brachos, not the singing, the brachos should all be finished, including, obviously, therefore, Shas HaNisim. So therefore, that's before. However, in the Hagos Maimonios, they quote an opinion that says differently. A second opinion that says, from Masechta Sofrim, the Shas HaNisim should only be said after. Davka Se Lahadlik first, then light, then Shas HaNisim. So again, as you correctly, astutely pointed out a few minutes ago, clearly this issue of when you make it will be dependent. If it's a bracha on the mitzvah, we usually have the principle that brachos are over las yasin, before you make the bracha. Whereas if it's a response to the miracle itself in the Pesumei Nisa, maybe that's why we first want to see a candle, which is mefarsim the nes, and then we make the...
Does that know that even though when you make it on the regular, when we light it, like we do?
I don't know what they do in the Sussman house.
When we light it normally, like they do in the Italian
house. Okay.
Not when you happen to see, not when we're talking about Christmas, where you see it when you're coming home from work.
Right.
So when you light it at home.
Yes.
Even then, if you say over last yes, how can you have, and you can still call it a Berakat HaRoah, it still is a Berakat HaRoah, even if you say it's related to the mitzvah itself. What mitzvah is it related to? You're still potentially relating to it as a mitzvah of.
No, we are talking about Berakat HaRoah. The question is.
Then how do you create an over last yes and not a Berakat HaRoah? You have to know that you're going to see something.
Oh, you know what it's like? It's interesting. It's a good point. It's like what women have to do on Shabbos.
Yeah.
Right?
Right,
which we don't do.
So therefore you can...
At least not in the Gottlieb house.
This doesn't necessarily explain...
Okay. It's a good question. Why?
Because there's no mitzvah which you can have an over LCS and not a Berakas
HaRoah. Right. Or at least that's why... Right. I guess the issue of the seeing, right.
Berakas HaRoah is just a definition of the case where you didn't do it separated from the mitzvah.
No, not necessarily. It could also be a
miracle. Yes, I say, some posts can really say that, I guess I said, depending on how you understand the bracha, Shas HaNisim itself might be a response to seeing your own candles. Right, right. I'm not sure, I have to think about it more, but I like that idea of like this for the Hanukkah. I always wanted to do that. You know, by the way, this is halacha lamaisa for the men here. I think of this again. My wife now, for the second time in just a few weeks, is in America. Thankfully, this time she'll be home for Shabbos. But last time she was away for two Shabbosos. So when a man is lighting, even though he might likes to play, you know, dress up, but he doesn't have to do the whole this thing. Just for the record, we can give a separate share of halakhos neros for men as to why not. But you know, we don't have the dexterity and the coordination. We'd probably drop it. We'd light the whole house on fire. It would be a mistake. The men just as simple as possible. No multitasking, right? Lighting in like this is already multitasking. Is too much for men. So you don't have to do that. You can make the brachos first without any covering the eyes. But that's just
you make the brachos
light. Right. Without, I said without having to worry about the thingy. Yes. Okay. That's kawaii. Okay. Anyway, let me just, if I could indulge you, we started a little bit late, so I think I'm still within my hour. Two more minutes, just to give
you. You have to 9:45. You have
Joey said, I have another half an hour. I just let that be known for the record. That was Joey Hellerstein who wants me to speak for another half an hour. And no one else has anywhere else to go. That's good to know. I don't have four kids who are home alone, so that's okay. Just a little bit of hashkafa. I think that if we understand the message of Hanukkah, we can give, I think, a very obvious hashkafic answer to Tosus's question. Tosus asked a halakha question. Why only Neros Hanukkah have this bracha of Haroah? How come we don't see the lulav and make the bracha? We don't see the sukkah, we make the bracha. But Tosus gave halakhic answers. Asked the question in a halakhic way, and we analyzed that. But if we think about a little bit of what the hashkafa of the holiday is, I think we could have a very compelling answer and a good message to take home with us, aside from the halakhic knowledge that we gained from the shir as well. And that is, again, I mentioned a little bit last week, you know, what's the main miracle? What, in the end, what's the holiday about? And again, this is Dvarim Atikim, many Mefarshim speak about this, but it seems, for one reason or another, the predominant, certainly the way the Gemara relates the miracle of Hanukkah, the holiday of Hanukkah, is the miracle of the candles. And certainly, in the way Chazal created the holiday of Hanukkah, while we allude to and we recall the miracle of the battle in Shasa Nisim, but has no actual expression besides that, the mitzvah of Hanukkah relates to the candles. There's something about the candles that has become central and defining. And I think that that symbolism of light is really gets to the heart of the message of Hanukkah. You know, many people ask the question, the famous question, of why Hanukkah is 8 days. After all, they had enough oil for the first day. So really, this is only a 7-day miracle. There should be a 7-day holiday. So there are quite literally over 100 answers to that question. But my personal favorite answer to that question was given by a number of Svarim. Among others, I remember I saw this from the Altar of Kelm. I think maybe a Sfas Emes might say something similar. Others say this. And that is that it's coming to teach us or remind us a very important lesson. That in fact we're wrong. There was a miracle for our 8 days. Because the fact that when you light a candle and its fire comes and gives you light and gives you warmth, that is a miracle. As the Gemara says, he who said that oil should be flammable could have easily said vinegar could have. And if I would have lighted a candle with vinegar, you'd say it's a miracle. So why don't you say oil is a miracle? Because you've seen it 1,000 times. But this is what the Ramban calls, famously, a nes nistar. But says the Ramban, a nes nistar, a hidden miracle, i.e. nature, is no less, and in fact, in his opinion, he actually says it's a greater miracle and more important to the religious personality than what he calls the nes nigla, the revealed biblical style mitzvah. You know? There's 100 Qassam rockets falling and no one, you know, the scuds falling and no one dying. That's not a miracle. 1967 is not a miracle. It's not a nes nigla. Well, 67 got a little close to being really a nes nigla, maybe. But this is also a miracle. So what's the difference between someone who goes through life and sees the Hanukkah as a 7-day holiday, who could understand that as a miracle, oil not being consumed for 7 days, and a person who could see Hanukkah as an 8-day holiday because they realize that even the first day was a miracle? The answer is only one thing. The facts are all the same. The difference is their vision. You know, there's an old saying, there's none so blind as those who refuse to see. Certain things can be in front of a person's eye. Hashem could be right there. But if you don't know how to see, if you don't know how to look, you don't have the koach hariyah, you could completely miss it. Chazal's emphasis on the miracle of the menorah was, I think, part of that lesson. Certainly, that's part of understanding why it's an 8-day holiday and not a 7-day holiday. It's coming to teach us in the most profound way. Like, in a certain sense, Purim is on some extent also, that the rabbinic mitzvahs, not as surprisingly, it's the rabbinic mitzvahs, the rabbinic holidays, are the holidays of Nes Nistar, are the ability of seeing Hashem even in the most natural of ways. Not just the supernatural, but even the natural. We alluded to last week that there is this kind of a connection, a little bit, between Hanukkah and Sukkot, of all things. And I remember one of the Divrei Torahs I always loved hearing once from Rav Goldwicht, of why you had to do with Sukkot, but it's really, really on point. You know, there's the Medrash that says that the four minim correspond to four limbs of the body. The lulav is like the spine. The esrog is like the heart. The aravos are like the lips. And the hadasim are like the eyes. Shav Goldblatt asked, there are three hadasim and two eyes. The number, we should only have two hadasim. If hadasim are like the eyes, then why do we have three? So he said, because there's the third eye, the ayin haruchni. The idea of being able, there's certain people who can look at the same event, and certain people see tanks and bombs, and certain people see Yad Hashem. They have a spiritual eye. They can see things. It's real. It's there. I mentioned some of you were at the hotel for the bar mitzvah or chalmoi this past Sukkot in Caesarea, but in the hotel on Yontif on Shmini Atzeres. So I mentioned that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik had a very beautiful idea about also again the Sukkot, the three walls, two and a half walls. So there's a medrash that says that when Eov was complaining about the justice in the world, the injustice, what's happening to him, the medrash says Hashem showed him a three wall Sukkot. Somehow that comforted Eov. Really, really bizarre medrash. So what does it mean? So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said, because a sukkah needs four walls, period. A sukkah needs four walls. Since we're little kids, we were taught three walls could be enough, two and a half walls could be enough. The answer is because even though you don't see the fourth wall, it's there. Chazal are teaching us that with your halachic or spiritual vision, there's a physical reality. But that's not the only reality. There's also a spiritual reality in life. And a three-wall or two-and-a-half-wall sukkah really has four walls. It wouldn't be kosher. It's just that we need our spiritual eye to see it. There are things in life that are just as real, even though we can't feel or touch them. And that was part of the nechama to Eov. That as bad as it was, of all these loved ones being taken from him, but the idea that they had it was no purpose, that they were literally gone, was unbearable to him. The idea that they might still be exist, just in a different form, in a different place. And of course he would have rather he could give them a hug. He would have rather he could see them and touch them, obviously. But Eino Doma, them being completely gone, to that chizuk that he got from that notion that they still exist. They're just in a different place that you can't see. And that chizuk, that reminder of there's a reality that we can't see, the ability of a spiritual sight, is again, it's a prominent message, I think, in Sukkos. I think it's also the main idea here, the idea of the koach ha-ri'iyah. We have to know how to look at life. So two people can go through the exact same circumstances, and two people can see very different things. Some people see it as a bracha, some people see it as a sign. Some people see a tragedy, some people see an opportunity. These are all obvious points. We all know this. You know, the Chinese symbol for opportunity and tragedy is the same in the Chinese alphabet. Because it's a question of how you look at it. It's all about the koach ha-ri'iyah. I'll end with just a humorous little true anecdote. There was, I don't know if it's still popular, but at least there was a true, for a time in Europe in particular, very, very popular form of entertainment, or what they call these comic clowns. You had these one-man shows where a person would dress up as a clown, be dark, you know, stage, except for the spotlight on the clown, and they would enact silently these silent performances, often supposedly some very profound meaningful message. It was kind of entertainment. So one of the ones, I, for the moment I'm blanking on his name, but one of, Hume Cronin? I think it was Hume Cronin. I'm not sure what the name was. A very, very well-known performer in this field had a very well-known show in which he comes out onto the stage and it's as if makes it somehow, you thought he's missing his key. And there's a spotlight on a space in the stage and he's looking. Then actually a policeman comes and, you know, kind of motions to him what he's looking for. And then the policeman starts looking for them and they still can't find it. And then they actually have a little speaking. This policeman says, are you sure you dropped it here? And he said, no. He says, well, why are you looking here? So, because that's where the light is. So I think that, at least the message I took from that is that very often we make that mistake. In other words, we're in every light is, you know, light is beautiful. It's the winter. Everyone's automatically drawn to Hanukkah candles. It's like a beautiful mitzvah. But that's not enough. Just being drawn to the light, but not knowing what the message or the purpose is, you'll be looking for your keys for hours. That's like going through Hanukkah without getting the point. It's good to be drawn to the light. We have to know what we're looking at. We have to understand what the ri'iyah is, what the message of the holiday is. Thank you very much. Have a good night.